people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We are in Mark chapter 6 this morning. Mark chapter 6. And we'll be turning to a couple other places, but most of it's up here on the screen. Man's archenemy, unbelief. Explain further in the message this morning why I say that. Mark chapter 6. This is concerning Jesus, his visit to the synagogue in Nazareth where he spoke. Verse 1, and he went out from thence, came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, Judah, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. In parallel passage in Matthew chapter 13, up here on the screen we read, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. What was it that ruined it for them? Their unbelief. Let's pray once more. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, for the faith that you give, that we need to use to trust you, to believe your word, to follow our Savior, that you might do great and mighty works in our lives to your praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sharing your word today. May you use it greatly. May you be glorified in this service today. May you draw all men unto yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The obstacle that stands between man and God is man's unbelief. You say, well, that's man's sin. Well, yes, sin separated man from God. However, God has made a way for man to be reunited with him despite our sin, forgiven, justified, redeemed. But the hurdle that often keeps man from God is unbelief. The obstacle which stands between man and eternal life, man's unbelief. The obstacle which stands between man and God's greatest blessings and rewards, man's unbelief. Hebrews 11:6 says this. But without what? But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him, that is God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can do every great work you can think of, every sacrificial thing you could do, every day, every moment of worship. But if you do it apart from what? Faith. It is impossible to please Him. It requires faith. We must believe, A, that God is, and that B, that God keeps His promises to those who seek Him in what? In faith. No belief, no faith, no hope of pleasing God or receiving eternal life or His grace and blessing. Unbelief is a great enemy to mankind today and has been since the Garden of Eden. I'm going to bring up a few events in the Word of God that demonstrate man's issue when it simply comes to believing the God who created him. It starts back in the Garden of Eden. Why did Eve eat of the tree that God commanded her not to eat of? Well, God told Adam, and either God also told Eve or Adam told Eve, but it was clearly indicated that they could eat of every tree, and Eve said so. She knew this in Genesis 3, except for the what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that in the day they ate thereof, they would what? Surely die. And yet Satan came in the form of the serpent and said, don't listen to him. God doesn't want you to have any fun. God wants to be the only guy at the top of the totem pole. You can be just like him. You can be your own what? Gods, if you'll just take of the tree and eat. And Eve chose unbelief. She chose not to believe the words of who? The words of God. She chose not to trust in the God who made her, and instead chose to believe, was deceived by the serpent. Adam was no better. It seems that Adam knew what he was doing and still did it, and so here we are. But it started with unbelief, simply not trusting in the words of our Creator. Why do people sin today and think they will escape the judgment of God? Unbelief. God has said, be sure your sin will find you out. In Galatians 6:7, we read, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible tells us of the judgment day, when the books will be opened, the dead will be judged out of the books, and those whose names are not written in the book of life will be cast into the what? The lake of fire. The judgment is coming. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And that only makes sense. God created us. He created us for a purpose, to fellowship and bring glory to Him, and we ruined it all the way back in the garden. Praise God, He loved us so much, He didn't want to just allow us all to face the judgment of the lake of fire, so He sent His Son to make a way that we could be redeemed if we would but what? Believe. If we would but believe. Why did the people of Noah's day die in the flood? Well, I dare say because of their unbelief. By faith Noah, Hebrews 11:7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by what? Faith. What made him righteous? His what? His faith. What saved him? His what? Faith. What condemned the world was their unbelief. Bible tells us Noah told other people the judgment was coming. And no one but his own family was willing in faith to get on that ark and trust in the Lord. Why do people today reject the love of God? The way of escape from judgment? The judgment is coming. It's coming near. Why do people reject and turn away from the God who has made the only way of escape? Unbelief. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day came that Noah entered into the ark. What was the issue? Noah had warned them, but they just kept on going about their business as though nothing was ever going to what? Was ever going to happen. And so does much of the world today. And sadly, so many millions upon millions of souls will be cast into the lake of fire because of their unbelief, because they were unwilling to get on the ark of safety, Jesus Christ the righteous, who came to earth to redeem us and save us from our sin. That which holds them back, among other things, is unbelief. They're just willing to accept it. Things are just going to continue on as they are. I will just close my ears to what God has to say. Part of the gospel is absolutely wonderful. Part of it, people just don't want to hear. They don't like to hear the judgment part. They don't like to hear the sin part. Christ's own disciples didn't like to hear the "I'm going to go and die in Jerusalem on the cross" part, so much so that they missed the "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, die on the cross" part, and rise again from the dead. And we live in a world today full of people, many who have never heard, but many who will die in unbelief. Let not that be anyone under the sound of my voice today. Not only do we see it in Eve and the story of Noah, but also in the unbelief of Israel, who refused to go into the land, and a generation was lost. So here Israel is in slavery in Egypt, and God delivers them. What did God do to deliver them? He brought what? 10 supernatural plagues on the land of Egypt and upon their gods. He asserted clearly that He is the only true and living Almighty God. And by a mighty hand, He delivered them out of Egypt. And yet, only months later, after camping out at Sinai and seeing the God in the cloud and hearing the voice of God and receiving the Ten Commandments, they arrive at the southern border of Canaan, the promised land that God gave to them, and they send in spies, 12 spies. 10 spies come back and say, "It can't be done. We can't take this land. We'll get squashed. All of our people will die. This is suicide." 2 came back, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Hey, it's a wonderful land. It's flowing with what? Milk and honey. Let's go." But the masses sided with the what? With the 10. And so they didn't go in. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews 3. Several verses I want to read, so I'll give you a moment to find, just, you know, if you need, turn back to Revelation and work your way back towards the front. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 12, take heed. In other words, listen up, brethren. Lest there be any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. In departing from the living God. You see, there were some who had declared faith in Jesus Christ and then decided that due to persecution or whatever, to go back to the worship of the temple and to reject justification through faith in Christ. And there's only one way, and that's who? That's Jesus. You can't go back to the old covenant when the new covenant has already come. And so this was a problem that the writer of Hebrews was dealing with. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers in Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if ye hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. What is the provocation? That's Numbers 14. That's when the people listened to the ten and decided what? Not to go into the land. So, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they would not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Look, well, God brought them out of Egypt with these mighty miracles. He parted the Red Sea. He gave them food in the desert. He gave them water to drink from a rock. And yet, when they got to the land, they said, oh, we can't do this. God can't do this. And they refused. And then they died in the what? Wilderness. That entire generation, save Caleb and Joshua, died in the wilderness as they went around in circles for 40 years until God said to the next generation, now, do you think differently than the previous one? Will you trust me and let's go into the land? It's not in what you profess, but it's what is truly what where? In your heart. Sadly, there are many professing Christians who are not possessing Christians. And a faith that doesn't last is a faith that is indicative of a professor who is not a what? A possessor. And so the writer of Hebrews warns, don't follow these other people that have left the church to go back to the temple. God is not happy with that. Do not follow in their what? Unbelief. In Hebrews 10:31, the writer says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why do people, even God's children, refuse to obey his word and sometimes to do his will? Same problem. Lack of faith in his power, his love, his direction, his word. No, you're not going to lose your salvation if you don't trust him to help with a particular need or to follow in a particular command. However, we can face God's chastening. We may lose rewards and blessings. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? direct thy paths, but you need to what? You need to learn to trust in the Lord. We need to learn to trust in the Lord. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that He rose again from the dead? Do you believe that this is His Word we hold in our hands? Do you believe that God loves you more than anyone else ever could? Do you believe that God never makes mistakes? Do you believe that God will answer prayers? Then we need to get down on our knees and pray. And we need to trust in the Lord when He tells us to go this way and not that way. Unbelief is not our friend, it is our what? Enemy. Because of unbelief, Israel was cast out of the land. God told Israel, back in Deuteronomy, if you will trust in me, follow me, and not abandon me for idols, then I will be with you, I will keep you in the land, I will bless you, and you will be here forever. But if you depart from me to the worship of idols in unbelief, I will do what? I will cast you out of the land, I will disperse you throughout the nations. In 2 Kings 17, we read that that's exactly what Israel did. They turned from the Lord, and the Lord cast them out of the land. Why? Because of their unbelief. They didn't believe that God would keep His word. They didn't believe that God would keep them. They said, oh, we have to go to these other idols to help us out. Yeah, God's okay. I like God, but, you know, we need Baal for the rain, and we need this God for this and this God for that. And God cast them out of the land. I do not know your situation, but so many people are lost and suffering because they will just not give in and cast themselves in the arms of Jesus by faith. When they could, if they simply what? Believe. They can't let go of their idols, pleasure, pride, and wealth, religious ritual, self-righteous works, to grab a hold by faith to the one who is trying to grab a hold of them. Even Christians let things come into our lives which don't belong. Sometimes pleasures, addictions, worldly philosophy, personal ambitions. And God has to take second place. And then we wonder why everything seems to go wrong. Well, it must be God's fault. No. No, it's oftentimes our fault because we're just unwilling to trust in the Lord with what? All our heart and lean not unto what? Our own understanding. And when we choose to lean on our own understanding and not trust in the God who loves us, who died for us, who's given His word, who knows everything and can do anything, we do so to our own harm. And we miss out. Our problem, lack of trust, lack of faith. Oh, if we only had faith as a mustard seed, we could move what? Mountains. The difference between Paul and many of us, a wholehearted trust in the goodness, love, power, and faithfulness of God. Paul had seen the other side. And now his eyes had been opened, and he had seen God. And what made Paul extraordinary was one thing, his faith. It wasn't his stature. It wasn't his talents. It wasn't his eloquence. It wasn't his education. It wasn't his IQ. It wasn't his standing in society. What made Paul extraordinary was his faith. And so he moved mountains. He came to cities and they said, now these people have come to our city that have turned the world what? Upside down. His reputation was preceding him at that point because of his extraordinary faith, which still was only a mustard seed. If we would only let our fear and doubt and need for control go and just trust in the Lord, we would indeed move mountains for Christ, prosper in the service of our Lord beyond our wildest dreams, if we would only trust and believe in Him all the way. Continuing on, because of unbelief, Jesus ceased to demonstrate His power in Nazareth. That's what we just read. In the book of Luke, it tells us their unbelief was so great that they took Him, some of them took Him up to a knoll at the top of a hill, a cliff in Nazareth, to throw Him off and kill Him. And so Jesus said, okay. They didn't succeed, did they? No, Jesus turned around and walked right back by him, and, well, they were powerless because He is who? He's God. It was not yet His time. The time would come, but He wasn't going to die being thrown off a cliff. He was going to die hanging on a what? How much easier it probably would have been to have died being thrown off a cliff than it would have to have been the way He suffered on the cross. And it was not Jesus' fault that they rejected His testimony and word. Indeed, it was theirs. And so Jesus moved on to other towns and villages that would what? Believe. Be forewarned, reject Jesus' light and the testimony and conviction of the Spirit, and He will likely move on to somebody who will. Number six, on my sixth point. Because of unbelief, Israel rejected their own what? Messiah. Not just the people of Nazareth, but His entire people for the most part. John 1:11 says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, in verse 12 it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that all-important word, believe on His name. His people rejected Jesus before His death and after His resurrection and after the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so we read this in Matthew 21:43. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. In Acts we read, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. In Matthew 23:37, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And what was the culprit that ruined it? For many generations of Jews, unbelief. It is human nature, but it is deadly, destructive, and detrimental. Because of unbelief, people are condemned to an eternity in hell. John 3:18 says this, he that believeth on Him, he that believeth on Jesus, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son, verse 36, hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What is the key term there? It's five times in two verses. Believe, 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 believe. You can't be saved without faith. It is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In Revelation 21:8, it says this, but the fearful and unbelieving, and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One of the key words in that verse is unbelieving. Those who simply would not trust Jesus with their soul. Accept him as their Lord and his forgiveness and receive eternal life. Some of those things on the list, we were. But through faith in Christ, we are no longer. For even though we may slip up at times, we may mess up at times, it's under the blood of who? Jesus Christ. And we are no longer defined by those terms. We are defined as the children of God, as those who have been redeemed and justified and sanctified through the blood of Christ, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And how did they get there? By what? By faith. We believed in the Lord, and he kept his promise, and he saved our souls. Because of unbelief and lack of trust, Christians will lose rewards in heaven. Not the reward of heaven, but rewards in heaven. We're told in 1 Corinthians 3 that there is a judgment coming, often called the Bema Seat, before which believers will stand, and we will give an account. And one of the keys to the rewards that we will receive on that day, the crowns that we will have to lay at Jesus' feet, will be the extent of our faith. And whether we trusted in the Lord or whether we struggled in that regard. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, Paul writes this. Paul is hours, days, weeks, we're not sure, from his final execution. And in his final days, he writes a letter to Timothy. And in the last chapter of the letter, he writes this. He writes, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the what? I have kept the faith. Therefore, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul said, I have 100% assurance that when I leave this earth, I know where I'm going. I'm going into the arms of Jesus, and I'm going to my reward. Not because I never messed up, I never sinned, I never made mistakes, I never failed, Paul did all those things. But because he fought a good fight. Because he finished his course, because he kept the what? he kept the faith. I have talked to a lot of people over my years in ministry that came forward in a service and said, I think I'm saved, but I lack what? Assurance of my salvation. And oftentimes what we do is we say, well, when did you profess Christ as Savior? We want to hear their testimony. When did you trust? Did you trust Christ? Obviously, if they didn't trust Christ as Savior, then they're not what? Then they're not saved. But a lot of times for the Christian, the believer, the born-again child of God who needs assurance, he doesn't just need you to go back and say, well, when did you trust Christ? He needs encouragement in the what? In the faith. Because when we're not growing in our faith, we tend to lack what? The assurance that we should have. If we're growing in our faith, then we won't lack that assurance. If we're following the Lord, trusting Him today, we won't lack that assurance. But if our faith is lacking, if we're choosing to trust in our own thoughts and not in the promises and the faithfulness of God, we may have some concerns. And we just need to cast out our fear and our doubt, and trust in the Lord with all of our what? With all of our heart. In Mark 9, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ and you've never trusted Him. You've never placed your soul in His hands for forgiveness and to receive eternal life. You can put your faith in Him today and be saved, your name put on the Lamb's Book of Life, and never have to face the judgment in Revelation 21 we read about. And you can do that before you leave this place today. Or maybe you are a believer in Christ, you're a child of God, but you're struggling. You're struggling with your daily living for Christ. You're struggling with your own assurance. You're struggling with doubt. Cast all your care upon Him, for He what? For He careth for you. Confess your doubt. Embrace more tightly your Savior. And He will give you the assurance that only He can give. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We pray, Lord, for those we know who have yet to believe and trust in You. We pray if there be one under the sound of my voice today that have yet to put your faith and trust in Jesus to save you from sin and hell, that they might do that and be saved. And Lord, I pray for Your children. Many of us who at times need to make the same plea of Jesus that this man did in Mark 9. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, help us to trust You more each day with all our heart, to lean not on our own understanding, that we might see great and mighty things in our lives, in the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.